At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Fort Worth Police Chief Joel Fitzgerald yesterday said the sergeant he fired this week had no basis for arresting a woman back in August after Dorshe Morris called police in August for assistance in a domestic disturbance. Fitzgerald said she cooperated with Sergeant Kenneth Pierce and another officer who responded. But Fitzgerald said Pierce later became impatient, that he initiated an unnecessary physical confrontation and ordered a rookie police officer to tase the woman. Rick Van Houten heads the Fort Worth Police Officers Association. He disagreed with that assessment in a press conference yesterday.
The facts of this case do not add up to the level of discipline handed down by Chief Fitzgerald.
The department's use of force expert said Pierce's behavior was well within the use of force policy, but an internal affairs investigation concluded there was no basis for the initial arrest. Three Texas brewers will appeal to the state Supreme Court over a law on distribution rights. Peticolas Brewing in Dallas, Revolver Brewing in Granbury, and Live Oak Brewing Company in Austin sued the Texas Alcohol and Beverage Commission back in 2014. They say a law passed the year before related to who could sell a brewery's distribution rights was unconstitutional. A judge sided with the breweries last year, but the state's Third Court of Appeals reversed that decision last week. Just about any American who was around in 1969 remembers this moment.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
That was Neil Armstrong after he became the first human to walk on the moon. NASA recorded thousands of hours of audio from Apollo 11 and other moon missions that have sat unheard in storage for decades. John Hansen of the University of Texas at Dallas is among those trying to reconstruct a massive archive of space history. He talked about this with KERA's Justin Martin.
Why do this? Aren't there transcripts? What can we learn from actually hearing the audio?
We always think, when we think about NASA, we think about how the astronauts accomplished an enormous feat in walking on the moon. But one of the things that actually people tend to not emphasize as much is the thousands of people behind the scenes working collaboratively to make sure that the mission was going to be a success. And so this project was really focused on trying to understand how people work collaboratively together to actually achieve these really challenging engineering and scientific obstacles.
Your team had to develop a new way to transcribe audio off these tapes. I want to go ahead and play a section of that original tape.
Roger, copy, throttle down.
How did you transcribe that? That's a lot.
Yeah, there's some challenges there because in each of these tracks, there's 30 tracks that are being recorded simultaneously. And in many of these tracks, there are loops. There are multiple people, anywhere from 3 to as many as 35 people that may be speaking on a particular track. Now, NASA is really organized, and so are the engineers and scientists here. You'll hear these tones. These are called Quindar tones, and that's what NASA used to ensure when the astronauts speak, everyone else has to be quiet. But other than that, you have lots of people all working collaboratively to make sure that the rocket is heading in the right direction. There's enough fuel, there's enough oxygen, the vital signs for the astronauts. And so constantly there are people monitoring all of these factors. And the technologies we had to develop required, first, we identify where there's speech and where there's silence. And when there's speech, recognizing what is being said and how many people might be speaking at the same time. So those are some of the challenges.
I want to play one more piece of tape that your team worked on. It's this dramatic moment. Neil Armstrong and Apollo 11 are just about to land on the moon.
Okay, all flight controllers, gonna go for landing. Retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guidance.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
What's happening there?
What's going on there is that the flight director, Gene Kranz, has to basically verify that every mission specialist is checking their particular function, their duty, to make sure that everything is operating perfectly. For it to work, they have to verify that through audio. And it's an unusual thing because cell phones didn't exist. Computers were there, but computers were there simply for computational purposes, not for communications. Everything was accomplished through verbal. And so each of the people responding there, they were a specialist responsible for a particular task. And all of them had to be a go before they were going to move forward. Otherwise, they would have to abort.
And your team had to have a special device built just so you could even access these tapes.
Yeah, the playback system only provides support for one track to be played at a time. So if we were just looking at Apollo 11, it would have taken close to about 170 years of continuously digitizing for us just to get Apollo 11. So we worked with a company to help design a new 30-track read head that I personally installed myself actually on the system. Big, big fear, because if I messed it up, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't be able to get anything off.
When you say 30-track read head, what exactly is that?
It's a small magnetic device that basically senses analog sound that's actually recorded on the 1-inch tape.
But I understand your team kind of pushed the boundaries of turning speech to text.
Yes. In order to get that text, you really need to understand what is NASA trying to accomplish. They're trying to get as much audio through in the shortest amount of time. And because of that, it means they use an acronym for everything. So for us to actually build just the language model to do the speech recognition, we couldn't go to Siri. You couldn't go to any of these commercial-based speech recognition packages you might buy, because none of them would have any of the vocabulary, the lexicon that NASA would use. So we drew from thousands of books and manuscripts from NASA. We pulled close to 4.5 billion words from NASA archives of text in order to build a lexicon, a language model that would characterize the types and words that they would use for each of the Apollo missions. Without that, your speech recognition system would never be able to work on this data.
John Hansen is the Associate Dean for Research at the University of Texas at Dallas. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Programming note, tonight we'll air a one-hour Marketplace special called Now What? On how the proposed changes to the tax code will affect people. That coverage begins tonight at 8.